Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, it is the build-up show. Liverpool take on Wolves at Anfield less than 2 days after they played Manchester City and won. Which we all love them for very, very much. Sunday 4:30 kickoff. Chris Pajak, Sam Walker and John Reid join me for this one. Chris, the gold badges for one night only. The Premier League are pricks, aren't they?
But they had to because they didn't give Man United the ability to wear them at all.
Yeah.
They should have changed it for us. They've been changing all the other rules for us.
Well, if you're going to you can change the rules whenever you
want. But the problem with the Premier League is, it's actually quite a lot of the problems with this country. They're very insular and they think that only our league matters and stuff like that, you know. And really, they should be proud that they're world champions. In fact, they should be proud, and they should love the fact that the world champions have come from the Premier League. If for some reason they don't, it's very little Britain. To be honest.
Yeah. Exactly. Like loads of people are talking about it. I don't get why they're not using that as to reinforce that, to be like, we're the best league in the world. We've got the world champions. It's just mad.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
but it's all right. You can have a little advert on your fucking
Angry Birds.
Yeah, you know what I mean. But now you can't wear a badge that says that you're world champions. It's just stupid.
But the thing is, genuinely,
this is the point. It's a glorious badge as well. But you can't. Who wouldn't want that on the kit? Every team in the world wants that on the kit, but only one can wear it. There can be only one.
Well, again, the point is that Real Madrid have worn it with pride up until literally the last possible moment. They wore it in the Clásico the other week prior to us. We're obviously taking the crown from them. Bayern Munich have worn it. But Barcelona, they've changed it for one game. If you can change it for one game, as far as I'm concerned, you can change it for the rest. And it strikes me like it's just dick swinging from the Premier League. It's them going, we will allow this, but don't forget who's the all powerful and mighty Premier League here. It seems nonsensical to me.
It does, and it's like they have to accept the Champions League's importance, don't they?
Yeah.
But this is just a step too far for them, you know. To be honest, I'm just made up we're allowed to wear it for this one game because understanding the context that you said about Man U, I think it's actually a nice little shove in the face of everybody else. But they've let us wear it once. And let's be honest, there's not many other teams that are going to get the chance to wear it soon, realistically, probably bar us if we win it again next year.
Yeah.
But I wonder whether if another team had won it, Man City or Man United, they'd have changed the rules this time, because we're not an establishment. And that goes from all walks of life, but in football, let's stick to football. Like, we're not an establishment team, are we? We always argue, we always put a fight up. The fans are always having a go. Now, I just wonder whether, if this had been Man City, whether the oil barons would have got their way and they'd have had it, because I think they probably would have.
You keep saying the Premier League's more important.
The game where we go, fuck off, six times, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's true though, isn't it? On our wall, we've got the old trophy, which was obviously, it'd be embarrassing.
There's a reason for that.
But I'd love us to keep that and get a 19 next year.
Right, because it says league titles, doesn't it, or something like that, you know what I mean? So they've thought about that a few years ago, where they can keep the wording and that, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, very good indeed. But yeah, I like the fact that we do it, because I thought it was great listening to the strains over my television set against Leicester. You know, singing about being world champions, champions of the world.
Also, fuck the Tories again.
Yeah, 100%. When Boris Johnson dies and all that stuff.
That was so fun, wasn't it? At the Villa game.
But this is the thing. This game, I like the notion of it. I like the fact that we get to make a bit of a spectacle of it. It gets to be a special thing, John. We get to go out there in front of the cameras, in front of the lights. Do that. Have the badge on there. Tell the world. Sing about being world champions. I think it's going to add to the whole spectacle of the game.
Well, definitely. And, like, you know, I don't know whether Madrid fans enjoyed it or Bayern fans enjoyed it, because, like, you know, I do watch a bit of European football, but, like, I don't speak Spanish. I don't really speak German that well. I don't know if they were singing about it in the stands. Fucking no one were singing about it in the stands. And I know it's a big deal to us. And, like, you know, everyone I've spoke to, and you know, I'm just slipping it casually into conversation with people. Do you want a world champion cup of tea there? You know what I mean? Like, any chance I get now, it's in there. And, like, we should be, like, you know, you know, we touched on it in the final word that, you know, that, like, it means a lot to, like, the South Americans in the team and stuff like that, like, winning it. But we should be really proud of it. Like, it means, it literally means we're the best team in the world. And why shouldn't you celebrate that? And, you know, I fully intend to go on about it for the next 12 months, if I'm honest. Forget just playing.
Right, up until the last point. Yeah. Just like Real Madrid with the badge, we'll be talking about it until the end of the final.
And I said, like, why shouldn't we? And, like, and the way we're playing at the minute, like, I suppose taking it back to the football, you know, and the thing, we are the best team in the world. So why shouldn't you sing about it? And you're like, I think our fans are great at that. You know, they're really good at celebrating stuff. And I like, in a weird way, actually, and it wasn't relating to this, but I sort of think he would, you know, obviously been with a lot of family and friends with it being Christmas, not just saying, oh, we haven't had as many songs this season, have we? You know what I mean? Like, because we haven't really had a big thing yet that's happened. And this feels like the first big thing that's happened, where we can start going, all right, we're not just singing Lay 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 this year, we're not just singing what, you know, like, it is the next chapter in the songbook where we get to do something a bit different.
No, I think that's a brilliant point, and that's where we're at, you know, we're the turning point of the season now. And what you do, this has all been a staging area to get us to where we are. The world champion stuff is definitely another page out to the songbook. But that Klopp talked about this game and how we've got 3 home games on the bounce now with the FA Cup game thrown in as well. And having gone through this is the point last season where we faltered a little bit. I think we got through December, we won every game in December, we broke all of our records in that period. And then obviously we then got to that FA Cup game against Wolves. We had kids in the team, but because we had to at that point.
Injuries as well, all sorts, isn't it?
And he said, you know, having this is, the crowd are going to have to play a big part in this. And I think this, again, the badge thing, the world champions thing, the players look like they've been elevated, but I think it's the first time for us as an Anfield fan base to get behind it.
And it's good timing as well, because we come back off the plane, we put that show on, we did Leicester, and as fans, obviously, apart from those who were lucky to be in the stands, we didn't really get to appreciate it. With any of you three there, I didn't go, no. But so for us, if we're at the game on Sunday, it's the first chance we can kind of go, wow, you know, this is it, we're world champions, because as a whole unit. And the fact that Wolves are coming off the back of a really tough game, I think they said it was 45 hours from the minute the whistle goes to the minute it kicks off, which is insane. Yeah, so we've got a real opportunity here to raise the roof, get us good first half win, in get the game won or in control. And then again, it's the same against as we move on to the next games, isn't it? We're quite lucky how the fixtures are piled, but this is an opportunity for us, the next 3 games really, to use what we've got and use this platform of Champions of the World to really push the lads on.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, the Wolves City game, Chris, it benefits us in so very many ways. I think it's put the final nail in City's title challenge. Great. I think the fact that, as mentioned there, it's less than 2 days before this game, I think that it plays nicely into our hands. Wolves are a brilliant side. They're having a brilliant season. I think most of us would have expected them to probably collapse a bit with the Europa League and whatever, but, you know, they got out the group in the Europa League to be fifth in the Premier League at this point.
They struggled to begin with as well, didn't they? So they've really turned it up, you know. And they play well against the better sides in the league. You know, I think they're perfectly set up to garner points from teams who are above them or around them in the league table, because the way they play with that, you know, the counter-attack and football and all that, the pace of Adama Traore, who looks actually like a bit of a player at the moment, and you've got great players all across the pitch. I mean, Gian Moutinho's great, we know all about Neves, and we know what Conor Cody's like at the back and stuff like that. Jota, all of these lads, they're all doing stuff and they're all affecting the game. But when it comes to Liverpool and Wolves, I look at it and go, I'm not scared.
No, I'm not scared.
I think, you know, you've played, you've had a brilliant game, you've worked your socks off, you've done us a favour there, you've done yourselves a favour, and now we're going to thank you by snotting you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the point, isn't it? That's what we've got to do. You know, we come to this period, and it's mad that I'm probably going to have to rotate, but also, and look at
they're
that
before. Going to have to as well.
Well, they're going to have to too, definitely, because it's just, you know, or if they don't, they'll be in trouble. But we should have rotated. We should have had to rotate against Leicester, and yet we looked the fitter team. The players looked fit and fresh. They've looked as strong as they've looked all season. So we will, logic dictates we rotate, but also I don't it didn't look like we needed to in the week. So, yeah, you know.
I don't know. I don't want to sound like I'm sitting on the fence here, which I am. But, like, you know, like, he could go either way with it. But I think what the manager, I think, deserves credit for in the sense of, like, he took something that could have been really bad in the Club World Cup and used it really well in, like, just basically giving Gini a week off. Because Gini looked like he was on his arse anyway. And he was like, look, you used to have a week off. Whether the Van Dijk thing was illness or whether it was, you know, just an excuse or whatever. Mm. But he used the squad really well, I think, out there is my point. And gave lads who needed time off. So I thought Gini was one of our best players against Leicester. Mm. And, you know, he might roll the dice again and go, right, well, he's in form, he's had a week off, I get two games out of him now, and then the next game's the game I take him out. And the same with maybe Henderson, you know, he said the knock wasn't the worst knock in the world, so he might play, he might not play, you don't know, do you? But when he gets all the lads back, you know, he's saying that Fabinho's in training. Well, apparently him, Lovren and Matip are all, you know, near thereabouts.
But play them all.
But that's the thing, like, he could go either way with it, but I think you'll probably see a couple of changes. I think you'll probably see a Lallana in there, like, and probably a Shaqiri, you know what I mean? I wouldn't be surprised if you saw one of the front three not play, and if you saw a different midfielder.
Klopp basically said he's got, like, four other men, and then Curtis Jones, available to him, and then he mentioned Harvey Elliott not quite being there, and Brewster not quite being there yet or whatever, but that's, you're right, you've got the obvious candidates there who can kind of come in and freshen it up.
The only other quick little thing as well, I suppose, is that, and whether he does, because he's certainly never done this before with transfers, but obviously he knows he's got Minamino coming on the 1st of January.
Is he training with us now?
No, I don't think he is.
Is he not? That's a shame, really.
That's flying, isn't it? Have you got a game or something?
I don't know.
No, but they've got off.
Yeah, he's obviously not allowed to play until they haven't.
But he can train, can't he?
Yeah, he should be able to train.
Yeah, maybe he is a bit, or I don't know, or even on his own. But yeah, Milner, Lallana, Shaqiri, Origi, and I think Gini will definitely play. I reckon the back four are going to have to suck it up for a couple of games now until Everton, I reckon.
Unless you put Milner in it.
At right back, yeah.
Right back or left back. But
I can't see Keita Endo playing.
I think particularly if Adama Traore is going to play this game, I think it'd be nice to have the option with Milner just for maybe the last 20 minutes or something. Mm. You're taking Robbo or Trent out with a little bit left to go in the game, rather than.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
We'll discuss that in a minute, though. Before we do, we have produced a fantastic, I say we, look, Simon's done some incredible work once again, produced a documentary on the Fan Park in Madrid. If you haven't seen it yet, here's a little clip.
When he plays, you'll never walk alone. Like, wow.
I still say to all my friends who've maybe never been to a game or anything, but even you know, as a Liverpool fan, everyone knows, as soon as you're here, you'll never walk alone at a game, never mind, you still get goosebumps, but you're in there, the middle of Madrid, and you've got, I don't even know what the capacity was it like 60,000 or something? you know, and you've got everyone singing. It was just, yeah, unreal, absolutely unforgettable.
Someone like John can claim that song as his own for, like, his generation, really, because Jerry and the Pacemakers were a lot before, but, like, John's got the right to make that song his own, in my opinion. It is a song of sort of rich history, isn't it? You know what I mean? And John is, he's full of it. You wouldn't mind it, obviously. He's a well-seasoned musician, you know what I mean? He's been and done a lot of things. And, like, for him to sing that song, and you can see how much, like, emotion he puts into it. Like, in the Olympia, I cried my eyes out when he played it. I'm not messing, I cried my eyes out. I spotted, like, a group of fellas in the crowd when John was on. And these are going to be the fellas who sort of grew up around Cast, and particularly the lads as well. And he was singing every single word to all of John's Cast songs. Then when he sang You'll Never Walk Alone, I could see them wiping the... I'm getting emotional thinking about it, mate. I could see them wiping the tears off their faces as he's... And trying to sing along with them. And I'm thinking, what? You know what I mean? Just perfect. Like, just... That was one of the moments of the day where I was like, what a fucking club we are. What a city we are, you know what I mean? It was just like, yeah.
Yeah, the full thing is available on YouTube, so if you're looking for some way to fill your time between now and kickoff, and in fact, you know, if you just want to watch it on repeat forever and ever and ever and make yourself feel happy, and a lot of people have said it's made them cry. So if you want a proper emotional response, all good cinema should make an emotional reaction in you, so yeah, make sure that you watch it. We're going to crack on Preferred 11 stuff in a moment, but before we do, Chris sat down with Matt from Checks Notes Talking Wolves to preview this game.
There's 45 hours, I believe, between the end of the game against City and the kickoff against Liverpool. How do you think that's going to affect Wolves? Because, as you mentioned, small squad. Is there going to be rotation? Is he just going to roll over here, or is he going to come out and fight?
I don't know. Nuno has always kind of stuck to his guns with stuff like this. Even when we've had the congested, you know, the Thursday, Sunday, he's always kind of picked the same team. Because our strongest 11, there's not many players off the bench who could come in. You think that, you know, that it strengthens us. I mean, Willy Bolly's out. He's out until Feb. It was a massive loss. And we've had Sace and Dendonka drop in at centre-half positions, who are both central midfielders. So we're a bit thin on the ground. So I can't see him changing it that much. Maybe one or two changes. But they're probably going to go for it. Again, you're going to probably find us try and contain a little bit more and hit on the counter. But yeah, we haven't got the squad to make kind of wholesale changes anyway.
So what do you think your chances are then of getting a result at Anfield?
Very slim. Very slim. I'd like to think that Wolves could be the only team to beat you this season. But it's that the odds are stacked against us. We've both played a ridiculous amount of games in a small period. We played against first in the table and third in 40-odd hours. It's a bit of a disgrace, but what else can you do? But I think Wolves' chances are very slim of beating Liverpool at Anfield, but, you know, where it's not impossible and stranger things have happened, but I think at most we can hope for is a draw, and I'm fairly optimistic. I think at most a draw is what we hope for. But after beating City last night, I think you should give us a draw just for the favour.
Right, gents, we've discussed the players that could potentially come in for this one. Chris, are you doing anything radical?
No, really more than what the lads have sort of talked about there. I think, you know, for me, I expect Lallana's going to come in. I expect that Milner's going to start, and I expect that probably Origi is going to start in this game. What I would do is probably slightly different. I'd definitely start Lallana, I think. I'd definitely start Keita, and I'd probably start Wijnaldum if I can. Mm-hmm. And I'd probably just switch out maybe Salah for Origi and switch Mane to the other side personally. That's about what I'd do. Like,
anyone think the Salah substitution's telling?
Yeah, massively. I think he plays the same. I can't think who started against Everton, but I know Lallana played centre mid. Shaqiri, Origi, and Salah. It was Shaqiri, Origi, and Mane. But because Salah came off, that was, and the game was, we were controlling it, weren't we? I think Salah plays with them two up top with a midfield of possibly Ginny, Lallana, and Milner. But you might be right about the fullback finger. But then why would you take Trent out after that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Sheffield United, they'll be even more tired, in my opinion, after playing City away. than they will be playing City now. You know what I mean? So they'll be goosed if we can just rotate and then get it back for that.
I wonder, again, we always mentioned it, and Klopp always mentions it, Johnny talks about, you know, the game in front of me, blah, blah, blah. the sports science people don't do that. The sports science people look ahead, but, you know, at every possibility. And it's, you know, we rotated heavily a couple of weeks ago with the Everton game and whatever the game was at the weekend after that. Watford, was it?
Bournemouth.
Yeah. And in the lead up, I think we rotated to a situation where we could play our best team in the final of the Club World Cup and then against Leicester. And I wonder.
And the final Champions League game, probably, give or take.
Yeah. And I wonder whether there's something in it, how seriously we're going to take the FA Cup. Will dictate how hard we go in these games, because I think if the plan is, regardless of Ancelotti, always to just play a Carabao Cup side, and I don't mean the Aston Villa Carabao Cup side, I mean the side that got us to the Villa game, then I think we could well see us go strong for the next two, at least this one, but we'll get a clearer thinking of how this team lines up.
I think. It sounds weird saying that, like, Wolves might have made his mind up for him, but they might have, in the sense of, like, the City result might affect impact what he was thinking. But I sort of don't think he works that way, the manager. Mm. I think in his own head, like, as you say, we'll know what his priority is in terms of, like, what team he puts out on the night. Whether it's, right, we're just going to get the league boxed and just get it out the way, or whether he's thinking, I'm just going to take it a game at a time. But he's done really well, I think, in keeping all the plates spinning, because he's managed to bring lads in and get performances out of them, like not just Origi, which was the main thing last year. He got it for even Lallana, I think, the last few games has played really well and stuff.
And Ox was up to speed before he takes the injury, wasn't he? So he's got them all up and running.
And it's whether he keeps that going, and I think, you know, the manager being the manager, I think he'll probably want to, because if, for example, we do or don't take the FA Cup seriously, you know, where are those lads getting the minutes between now and the Champions League groups? We might need them for that. So I don't know. It's hard to call, but I wouldn't be surprised.
You wonder whether there's just something that Wolves are complicit in this. Of, are they a bit like Leicester in the regards that they haven't got loads of rotation in them? So if they're going to have to largely go the same team again, does that afford us the option to do the same? Mm. You know, because they're going to be knackered and we're going to be knackered. Can you get away with playing the same? Can we get away with playing the same side again? Just to talk it out.
But realistically, though, from Wolves' point of view, is when they're looking at these fixtures, I always say this: they're going to look at this. We're going to Anfield. They won every single game this season at Anfield at home in the league. Anyway, it's like, can we really go there and risk injury? We've got Europa League coming up, FA Cup, Premier League, because they're pushing now. They're going to be one in that top six, top four, maybe. They're going to look at this game and go, we can recover from this, and we've got them at home in January to almost recover from. So I think they're going to put this game to a. We'll see what happens in the last 20 minutes, and I'll bring Adama, Jimenez, Jota, etc. on if I need to. I don't think Wolves can afford to go, because they could lose three players to injury by chasing shadows against us.
Yeah.
They don't need to do that, and neither do we.
Sam's right. I mean, this is what a healthy lead at the top of the table does, and an invincible sort of air to your team is. Teams are looking at it and going, I could play full strength and we could get beaten comfortably, so I may as well not risk all my boss players.
Yeah.
And we'll roll over for them, but we'll live to fight another day. Mm. And it's what teams have done against City for the last 2 years prior to this.
Yeah.
And it's what we've worked our way into right now.
You said about 5 or 10 minutes ago, but, like, you know, the back five might have to suck it up a bit. I think we might just lean on the back five for this game and just go, like, look, whatever team they play, you know, they might play Traore, they might play Jimenez, who's a big number nine. It's on you lads to sort it out. You know, and we clearly, with Vardy at Leicester, were like, look, it's all going to be up, like, recovery runs and making sure he doesn't get in behind us. Might be the same thing. We just got to look. If you lads can take care of what they've got up front, let us run the rest of the game. Will take care of itself, because that's how they're going to hurt us. It's going to be him running at you, or it's going to be getting the ball on his head from Doherty. That's all they're going to do. Mm-hmm. So just take care of that. Play the best you can, and the rest of it will look after itself.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's interesting stuff, isn't it? And yeah, it's telling that you could see us doing both as easy as one of that. The logic dictates we'll rotate just because it makes sense for us to rotate a little bit, because that, you know, that our front three have played the last two, you know, if nothing else.
I think Klopp right now, and what we've seen over the last month or so, is for most of the time when he is rotating, he's going to put out a 80 to 90% full strength side rather than go 100%, 100%, 70, he'll go 80, 80, 90 yeah. or something so like that, and just do it like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You can win
with
a game off the bench
the
as well.
When he threw out 50%.
But then he has to counterbalance that with 100% somewhere else. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But for the most part, the games that really are in the middle, as they were.
You can win it off the bench as well by doing that. Yeah. So if you've got Mane and Firmino on the bench, you can win it off the bench if you need to, if it's tight.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Let us know your preferred 11s in the comment section underneath. John,
rival fixtures?
No such thing. Genuinely, me and Chris had this conversation. We've got a rival fixtures section of the agenda that we have every single week. And what's the point?
We've slowly picked them off one by one. We had like six teams at the start of the season. Just
United and Spurs and everything at the start of the season. And now there's fucking no one. Absolutely no one.
Who've Atletico got this week? Oh, they're on a break, never mind.
Yeah. Right. Score predictions then, John. What do you think?
I think we were 3-1.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go 2-0 just to be different. I was thinking that though.
I'm not sure we're ever going to concede a goal again with Joe Gomez and Virgil van Dijk, so 5-0.
Yeah, cool. I
love it, love it.
I'll take a 4-0 to the Reds on this one. Yeah, I agree with that. Right, okay, let me know then in the comments what you think your preferred 11 is going to be and what you think the score prediction is going to be. And if you want to check out the Madrid fan part talk, you can do right now. We'll annotate to that at the end of the video as well. And there's loads of other amazing content. If you need to keep yourself busy, the Redmen TV Liverpool FC Quiz of the Decade is up, and we're going to be doing Team of the Decade stuff is coming out on New Year's Eve as well. Gents, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Hope you've enjoyed watching and or listening to the show. We'll see you all very soon. Ta-ra.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.